Welcome to Epilogue, Press TV's review programme where we look at books that make sweeping claims and put them under the microscope. I'm Martin Short, and today here in London, we're reviewing Oil Crusades, America Through Arab Eyes by Abdullah Yahya Zaloum. Abdullah Zaloum joins me now from Amman, Jordan, where he founded the Zaloum Group, a conglomerate company active in petroleum consultancy. Abdullah is a Palestinian brought up in Jerusalem who went to America to study engineering at the universities of Texas and Louisiana before going on to Harvard to do a postgraduate business degree. And with me here in London is Jonathan Fryer, a leading British journalist specializing in Middle East affairs and also the author of A History of the Kuwait Oil Company. To give some sense of where you're coming from, Abdullah, here's a quote from your chapter, Future Imperfect, Why America Must Change.
The elite of America, currently represented by the Bush administration, have pursued an aggressive policy, the pursuit of oil in Arab and Muslim countries. Here is the problem for the US. The pillar of empires, oil, lies beneath the soil where the majority of people have their own, very different values from those associated with the globalization that feeds American capitalism. So regardless of whether the US intelligence community failed or was looking the other way for more than a year while the 9/11 hijackers prepared their attack, that incident was the start of already laid plans to dominate the world's natural resources and, most urgently and critically, international oil. Hence the declaration of the war on terror as a way of expanding American oil interest.
Dr. Zaloum, I was a bit surprised by that line, in the sense that you seem to think that America basically used the blowing up of the World Trade Center and the loss of thousands of lives as an excuse to, through the device of the war on terror, to expand its control over world oil. Could you explain that for me, please?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it would probably be good to have some quick look at history. The United States history, starting from the Monroe Doctrine, all the way down to the Bush Doctrine, had a history of interventions in the affairs of foreign countries. Now, Dean Rusk, when he was defending the failed invasion of the Bay of Pigs, cited 102 American interventions by the United States in the 19th century alone. In a testimony to the Congress just very recently, historian, Harvard historian and a grandson of an American president, William Polk, cited over 200 American interventions in the affairs of foreign countries. Now, 9/11 or not 9/11, the American foreign policy itself is steered by the interests of the, should we say, the 1% society which owns actually in the United States over 50% of the United States wealth. Having said that, whether the 9/11 was used as a good, should we say, marketing point to launch the resource war that was actually planned in advance. What I mean by that, you know, there was this so-called the New American Century Project, and this project actually was calling for interventions to secure American interests unilaterally We have seen in many places in the world. And again, I say, historically speaking, this is not unique either or a specialty of George W. Bush, but it's a nature of the system. Henry Luce in 1941 wrote in Life an article which was titled The American Century. And it actually, when Bush declared his doctrine of preemption, he actually used the very same phrases used by Henry Luce, which is that the United States should interfere in the world in order to secure its interests. And he considered, and this phrase was also used by Bush, that is an American duty and interest.
Well, I'm sure that's the case, yeah. But it seems to me that, you had an education, firstly in engineering and then in business in America. This could hardly come as a surprise to you. I mean, I'll turn now to you, Jonathan. Dr. Zaluma's called his book Oil Crusades. Do you think that's what the book is about?
Well, I'd be very interested to hear Dr. Zaloom to expound a little on the title itself, because I was fascinated by this book in some senses, in the sense that there seemed to me to be several different strands, very interesting strands, running parallel in it. One observation I thought was important was that although at the moment the United States is the biggest consumer of resources, as China and India increase, they will increasingly be the main consumers of resources, including and especially oil, but that is an added reason for the United States to try and control oil supplies. I found that very interesting. But I would love to hear from Dr. Zaloom why oil crusades as such, because that suggests a war against the Middle East countries in which most, though not all, of the oil is found.
Dr. Zaloom, would you like to answer Jonathan's point?
Yeah. You see, actually, at this moment in time, the United States consumes about a quarter of the world's consumption. And Japan, until recently, was the second consumer, but now it has been actually overpassed by China. The problem with the United States and its perpetual wars, which it calls war on terror, actually has more than one reason. But basically, the United States itself is running out of oil. In May 2001, Bush said that what the Americans or what people must hear loud and clear is the fact that the United States is running out of energy, unquote. Now, speaking in figures, the United States reserves are just about 20 billion, whereas its consumption per day is 20 to 21 billion, a million a day, 21 million a day. If you make simple calculation, you'll find out that really the United States is running out of oil. Now here is one superpower, a lone superpower, running out of oil, which is the backbone of its industry, of its military, and actually of its civilization. So when the United States went to its in preemption and this doctrine or Bush doctrine of invading other people at its will, it actually went not just because it was something nice to do. It was to them very vital. For them, not, you know, just to continue as a superpower. This is the energy part, but the hegemony part
I think we have a little problem here, because I just don't think that the major oil companies control the world's oil these days. I mean, if there were an American oil crusade in the past, and you kindly and justifiably wrap up the English and to some extent the French in this, as far as I know, the Seven Sisters, or whatever they want to call themselves, have a few there are, maybe only five now, they're basically finished, because the national oil companies in so many countries, including South America, you were talking about the Monroe Doctrine just then, it seems to me that America no longer controls the world's oil industry. What do you think, Jonathan?
Well, I do think that it's maybe a little too simple to suggest that the United States has the oil companies, or indeed the suppliers, rather like marionettes on strings. I don't think that is the case. Nonetheless, I think there is a central truth to Dr. Zulum's thesis, which basically is that at this moment in time, still, the United States is doing everything it can to keep as firm a hand as possible on oil supplies. What I'm fascinated, though, by is the final chapter in the book, which is really saying things have got to change. And I'd love to hear from Dr. Zulum, well, how do you think things should change? How should the United States change its policy, do you think? And what can countries in the Middle East do to encourage it?
Well, Dr. Zulum, I too was wondering where the answer to this question is. You say why America must change, but you don't actually show any sign that it is going to change.
Well, you know, frankly speaking, I think that you would be asking America to not to be itself by asking it to change. This is not really my own opinion. If I would just cite a recent lecture that was actually by Eric Hobsbawm, who is a very famed British, I think, historian at Harvard, actually. That was in October 2005. He, in his lecture at Harvard, he believed that the American empire, the way it is going to end up by creating disorder in the world, and he concluded that such an empire, as an empire, is destined to fail.
Jonathan, I got deeply confused in the book when suddenly Dr. Zulum starts talking about the various conspiracy theories, like about the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers. Now, these are very interesting subjects in themselves, but I didn't see what it had to do with oil crusades or America's desire to protect its own economy.
Indeed, that's why I spoke earlier on about parallel threads rather than threads being joined together, which is why I think it would be helpful to have a little more explanation of how this all leads, or where it is all leading to. To pick up the point though just raised about Eric Hobsbawm and the prediction of chaos after the collapse of the American empire, I think that's a very interesting idea to follow up, and one that is intimately linked with control of resources. I'm one, I have to say, who shares the view that we are seeing the beginning of the end of American hegemony. The question then is, what's going to replace it? What sort of multipolar world are we moving into? A multipolar world of stability and with shared resources, or a multipolar world of chaos in which there is competition and indeed conflict over those resources?
Well, and we're seeing these bilateral deals, aren't we, between China and Africa. You've got Venezuela, the very backyard of the United States, basically out of its control. You've got the knock-on effect in countries like Bolivia and Ecuador, and Cuba, of course, immovable after nearly 50 years. crisis. It seems to me that, that the empire is already breaking up, but at the same time, Dr. Zaloom relies upon Messrs. Barnett and Gaffney, two figures in the American military political establishment, who basically say that America is not just going to go and invade Iraq, but it's going to stay there. And citing the parallel of Japan and Germany, that their forces will be there basically forever. They're saying that's why you must be straight with the military. But in fact, looked at from Dr. Zaloom's perspective, it's basically he's saying that the duplicity will go on and America just never intends to leave the Middle East.
Well, I think at the moment it would certainly declare that it intends to stay for the long haul in Iraq and would need to, but I think conditions may change, that the moment indeed will come, a sort of crunch time, as it's happened sometimes in the past, not only with America vis-a-vis Vietnam, for example, but particularly I think of Britain, when its empire essentially was coming to an end and the government had to take the very unpopular decision to withdraw from east of Suez and to withdraw a lot of its tentacles and accept that it was no longer the great dominant power that had been in the past.
Yes, I mean, getting back to the title, Oil Crusades, America Through Arab Eyes, I did feel I was slightly misled because essentially the book consists of quite large quotes from other authors, when Dr. Zaloom, as we can hear, is fully capable of writing 200 pages in his own words. But also it strays off into all sorts of issues that really have nothing to do with it. And in a way it would have been better portrayed as a collection of essays, some of which are about oil, some of which are about history. I mean, we even get a reference to Napoleon making the first promise to the Zionist movement when it didn't even exist, to give Palestine to the Jews. I mean, it did seem to me to be a bit of a ragbag, frankly. I was a bit disappointed.
Yes, a collection. I think one of the issues is indeed the title, which we identified before. In other words, the fact that maybe even if they turned the title the other way around and called the book America Through Arab Eyes, yeah, An Oil Man Speaks or something, that would have made it a little clearer, because there isn't maybe perhaps a really coherent central message. So there's lots of fascinating material inside it.
Yes, Dr. Zaloom, I understand you're back with us now. We were saying that really the book is full of fascinating stuff, but really that to call it Oil Crusades is perhaps took us off the point, because as Jonathan just said, maybe if it was the title was turned around, it might have been led us in a more obvious direction. How do you feel about that, Dr. Zaloom?
Yeah. Well, actually, the Arabic translation made it in reverse.
That explains why the book is this way around. Excellent.
But on the other hand, if we are talking about the current events, especially within the limits of this Bush administration, we are speaking actually about crusading for oil in the Muslim world, because, as said earlier, most of the world reserves of oil are in Arab and Muslim lands in the Middle East and the Caspian area.
So is that now, why you, excuse me, you, can I just ask, is that why you threw in all the stuff about Christian Zionism? Because superficially, it didn't seem to me to have much to do with the theme of, America's need or perception that it needed to control world oil.
The way I look at things is simply like this. The Middle East was one political entity until the First World War, and it has been subdivided. Lots of the borders and the subdivisions actually were based on geology more than on geography or history. some city-states that they were created, they were actually, their borders was based, you know, on geology and on oil.
Are you talking about Kuwait in particular? Because Jonathan wrote a history of the Kuwait Oil Company. Do you believe that Kuwait was carved out?
I have to say I slightly take issue with Dr. Zaloom on the issue of where Kuwait actually belonged. He states quite categorically that it was part of Basra province under the Ottoman Empire, and certainly the Kuwaitis would have dispute that quite strongly. But I think it is absolutely true that the legacy that the whole of the Middle East, including the Gulf, has is, I regret to say, largely the fault of the British and the French, and the Sykes-Picot Agreement carving up in the interests or perceived interests of those two powers. And I think a very valid point in the book is that essentially the Americans then came along and started to pick up the pieces when they realized that the British and French were on the wane.
Dr. Zaloom, I'll just give you 20 seconds. Just finally, is America ever going to get out of the Middle East? Just give me a very brief answer on that.
Not willingly.
Not what?
Not willingly.
Yes. Not willingly.
Not willingly. In other words, somebody asked if the United States, why the Bush administration did not have an exit strategy in Iraq. And my answer is they never intended to have an exit.
Right. Okay, I've got to cut you off, Dr. Zaloom, because that's all we have time for. We've been talking about Oil Crusades, America Through Arab Eyes, by Abdulhay Yahya Zaloom, published by Pluto Press in London, England, and Michigan, USA. My thanks to Abdulhay Zaloom in Amman and Jonathan Fryer in London. We'll be back soon with another edition of Epilogue, but we're always keen to hear what books you'd like us to review. Please email your suggestions to epilogue@presstv.co.uk. And thanks to Dan Caramella of New Jersey, who has asked us to take a look at The Israel Lobby and U.S. Foreign Policy by Professors Mearsheimer and Wart. Well, Dan, we did review this book a few weeks ago, and we're revisiting it in one of our festive season specials at the end of December, with footage of Mearsheimer and Wart in action, our own stuff, that is. Thank you very much for watching, Dan, and everybody else.